I'm Judy Pilak on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, dear God. There's chaos. It's chaos in the political world.
You got chaos.
Yeah, you got your Donald Trump fighting. And I said it like Bruce Vernon, fighting with the Fox News Channel. You've got, actually, what's interesting on the Democratic side, too, there's a bit of a controversy. The DNC is not sanctioning a debate that's going to be held in New Hampshire, theoretically. And the both Clinton and Sanders campaigns have not said they won't be attending this unsanctioned event. So, in other words, they may attend. If Bernie says yes and Hillary says yes, they're going to go to a non-DNC sanctioned event. And that's got the Democratic National Committee all upset.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't understand.
Who knows what to make of it? I mean, did you see the town hall meeting that they just had was not a debate at all. They were on stage individually for a lot of time and it was, you know,
answering questions from the folk.
Yeah. And it wasn't, there were a few pointed questions, but it was overwhelmingly very positive in its approach to the candidates.
Michael Steele, what could the DNC do? You're formerly the head of the RNC, the other one. What could the DNC do to sanction Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders? What difference does it make?
Well, it makes a difference to the extent that what the party tries to do is establish rules of engagement. It establishes lines of demarcation between the media and the candidates and the party. But more importantly, it tries to instill discipline. And so they tend to exact, great degree of pain from the candidates, from the loss of seats at the convention to, other types of sort of draconian steps that the party is willing to take to punish you for stepping outside the very lines that they've drawn. In the case of the Democrats, their situation is different from both what we witnessed in 2012 and this cycle with Republicans, who, despite the complaints about an expansive debate schedule in 2008, still has a relatively hefty debate schedule for 2016. For 2012, they had a hefty one. In 2016, it's a fairly heavy one as well. The Democrats have just gone completely the other way. I mean, at the end of the day, you're looking at six total debates. The candidates clearly want more debates. I think initially Hillary her team did not really like the idea of a lot of debates because they didn't want to give the exposure to Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that genie's sort of out of the bottle in that you've got to counteract Sanders' popularity in some kind of way, so you have to show him up. You have to put him on the defensive. You have to embarrass him politically if you can on the stage. But more importantly, to show your own bona fide. And given the limited number of opportunities they have to do that, you now see the Democrats running around saying, we want more debates, we need more debates. The party has said no. I know that they've come to my network at MSNBC with Rachel Maddow and Chuck Todd to anchor a moderated debate for the candidates have. To do a debate, but Bernie Sanders is saying, no, I don't think I want to do that because he doesn't want to feel the punishment if the party decides to exact it.
All right, so let's talk about the Republican side for a second. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
So much going on.
All right, so, I mean, we should dispense with the theatrics of, well, could you ever imagine this happening? Because no one could have ever imagined any of this happening. But here you have...
No, you can't imagine it. You can't, but you have to recognize, and people really need to get to this space and just kind of, go zen in it. You just got to let it happen and unfold around you. And the space is one of an asymmetrical campaign. You have a candidate in Donald Trump, and I've said this on your program, as well as my own network, you've got an asymmetrical candidate running in a conventional presidential primary. That is a loser scenario for conventional candidate every time, simply because the asymmetrical candidate, like a Donald Trump, has the advantage of shaking the system up in a way that puts pressure on both the system as well as the candidates who play by those rules, and making it more difficult for them to get the kind of traction they want. We've seen this play out before when third-party candidates, for example, have entered the race, whether it was Ross Perot, again, an asymmetrical kind of candidate, upset the apple cart, though it was in the general. It still changed the dynamic in which the traditional candidate would engage. Bernie Sanders is doing it on the left, an asymmetrical candidate who is throwing wrenches in the operations of Hillary Clinton as well as the National Party, because they've tapped into an energy that the party and traditional candidates like Clinton and Rubio and Bush and others have ignored in large measure or taken for granted. And those voices are a lot stronger than they give them credit for. But once you understand that, then you're able to sort of, I think, adjust a little bit more freestyle and be willing to, you know, take some risks yourself as a candidate to compete with or at least keep pace with that asymmetrical Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders.
Okay. And again, you know, when you were at the University of Chicago doing your seminar, that was an excellent dissertation that you just gave us.
Made a lot of sense.
But let me say this to you. This is, yes. It's Looney Tunes. I mean, what we're looking
it's
at
not,
here.
It's not Looney Tunes.
No, it is good. Because here's, let me explain this. The way that I see this is that you,
that's
all right, for, you got, you have, if you are if you're the Fox News channel, let's just go with that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the cable news world now. So, you know how people think. If you were at the Fox News channel, or if you were Roger Ailes, hard to imagine putting anyone in that position. But if you were, I mean, do you want Donald Trump to be there because you know that the ratings will be better if he is there? Or do you want the controversy? And then do you want an enemy in Donald Trump poking at your own base of viewers and saying these guys are liars and they're not out to do the right thing by you?
You want the former, but the calculation by Fox was that Donald Trump wouldn't do what he did. No one, I mean, if you were laying bets on this thing, there's no way on the planet you sit there and go, oh yeah, he's just going to walk away from a debate 3 days before the Iowa caucuses.
There's no way you do that.
It's just that it doesn't fit within the normal calculus of media or politics.
Will Fox.
Again, but you have an asymmetrical candidate,
yes,
who doesn't play by the rules that you set in place.
He doesn't care.
Isn't it? I think.
Yeah, and that's right. He doesn't care. And why doesn't he care? Because he's not running for you.
Yeah.
He's not running to get your vote. He's not running to please Roger Ailes or befriend Fox News, even though he knows that's where the bulk of the conservatives, that's what they watch, that's who they listen to. So he's got his own connection.
Mike, on your show, your network, MSNBC, The Morning Joe, they were talking about, Joe Scarborough was talking about how Roger Ailes personally was calling people in Trump's life, Ivanka, his sons, his wife, Melania, to try to get him to do this debate. So behind the scenes, there's all this maneuvering like, come on, are you serious? You're really not going to do it?
Of course. I mean, think about it. I mean, Chris Matthews kind of put it in a rather funny way. Although some people were offended by it, I thought it was rather amusing. He said, "Who wants to watch two Cubans argue on a stage on a Thursday night or a Friday night or whatever? You don't want to. Who wants to see Marco and Ted Cruz? Who wants to see Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio?"
I'm offended because Ted Cruz is actually Canadian, but that's a separate issue.
Well, right. That's all another story. But the fixation is on Trump. And he is driving. He's driving the news cycles. He's driving the political discussion, and he's driving the ratings at the network. And that's why Roger Ailes is making the phone calls, because at the end of the day, he knows that he's going to lose probably a third of that audience. No one's going to watch it. You know, he's not there. He's going to put on a counter programming event with Wounded Warriors.
Which, by the way, in and of itself, I'm sorry that it is so solicitous for him to do that. There are so many ways, and you've been involved in this. I've been involved in this in dealing with issues of and charities that surround troops either in the field or returning home or any of those kinds of things. And there's a lot of them. As a matter of fact, interesting. The Wounded Warriors Project, Wounded Warriors Project, is getting a lot of bad press. The New York Times came out with a story today about how they spend their money, and CBS followed up on it. It's going to be an interesting thing. And, you know, you wonder if Donald Trump is going to do something for that organization, and then does he get in the middle of that firestorm? But the damnedest thing about this is that Donald Trump, and again, and I'm going to get to this coming up in just a few minutes with an email, but the... You know, Donald Trump doesn't have any detail, doesn't get close to anything that is about an actual issue or about a solution to a problem. He never details
that. And that drives you nuts, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
Bingo.
It does drive me nuts.
Out of your mind.
Right.
Because I'm telling you as I do. You just cannot handle that new truth.
Yes. I cannot.
He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do it because you expect it.
I know.
No, I know, but most candidates do that. I mean, in America, we usually hear their position on policy and how they move forward.
Where has it gotten them? And where has it gotten them?
Well, true.
3%, 7%, 9%. And why is that? Because the people don't give a damn. They don't want to hear your policy proposals that you're not going to follow up on. They've heard your lies and promises about lowering their taxes or saving them from an aggressive, overbearing government, or that you're going to, you know, undo Roe versus Wade or Obamacare, or go through the litany of lies that they've heard over the last 30 years. And so now they've got a guy who said to them, I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to build a wall, and somebody else is going to pay for it. You can bank that.
But he is lying to them.
But you know what? It's almost a leap of faith in the sense that they've seen this guy do other things and follow through on those things. So they know he's had bankruptcies, and yet he's still one of the richest men in the world. They know he's had failure. They know he's had success. They know he's been married several times. They know he's cheated. He's like them. So when you have a working mom in New Hampshire in a focus group, you know, say that he's one of us, how is a multi-billionaire like one of us, a worker bee, the mom and pop up that trying to make ends meet? There's something that he connects with them on a level that's visceral to them, and they trust him. They trust that when he says, we're going to do this, they're going to do it because they've seen him do it in his business. And that's one of the connections that a whole lot of people just kind of dance by that. But that's one of those things as an example to folks that go, okay. That makes sense.
Okay. I don't understand.
I know it drives you nuts. You want to walk out on the policy, and you want to argue whether you can or can't do something. People right now are like, I don't want to have that discussion. I want to see someone who's willing to fight for something, and no one else has shown that for him right now.
You know, I keep hearing on all the cable news stations, people saying that it's a risky move. In fact, we were just listening during the break, a risky move for Trump to give up his time on this debate just a couple of days away from Iowa. But my question is it really? Because Trump really doesn't have too much trouble getting the cameras to pay attention to him.
He's sitting at 30-some% in the polls. Who's driving the discussion on this radio program tonight?
Right.
Who is opening every newscast in America this evening? Who is the number one story in every newscast this evening? Who will be the number one story tomorrow night before, during, and after that debate?
It's true.
All right, I know you speak the truth,
Michael Steele.
So you're going to sit there and tell me that he's taking a risk by not showing up at a debate when everyone's going to be talking about him anyway?
All right, let me, all right.
That's a great point.
Let me tell you something, pal. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way this is going. let me ask you this. Where does this end? Do you think that Donald Trump, if you had to bet right now, I know you're not a betting man, but if you had to bet, what would you say? Would you say that he's going to show up tonight or not going to show up tomorrow night?
If I'm a betting man, I say he doesn't show, because actually, in a weird, crazy twist of fate, if you will, showing up, I think, would do more damage to him and undermine undermine him than not showing up.
Right, because they're not, because Fox News will not, under no circumstances, I believe, and I could be wrong, because I don't know. I'm so confused. I feel like I had a stroke, and I always feel like that. I wondered if, you know, it was even possible, but it's not, that Roger Ailes is ever going to dump Megyn Kelly from this. He can't.
No.
They said they wouldn't.
The biggest star, right?
No.
Not going to
no.
do that.
Roger Ailes is not going to dump Megyn Kelly. So let's just take that off the table. That's just not going to happen. And that would be a setback for journalism that would be profound. So mm-hmm. that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, on the other hand, I think showing up now after what has been 24 hours from himself, his campaign, and others related and associated with this campaign, saying that he will not come. And notice how the needle has moved to that. It has gone from, he's thinking about not coming to, no, he's not coming. So when you're in that space, I think now for him to show up potentially has more of a downside to it than an upside, because people, again, are not turned off by the fact that he said he won't show. What will bother them is if he does, because nothing else will change. The other conditions of the test will not have changed. Megyn Kelly will be the moderator. It still will be with Fox. The battle will still be there, front and center with Roger Ailes and his enterprise. So none of that changes. And then what you wind up doing is showing up to be on the stage. That says to them, there's a weakness, there's a chink in the armor that will probably nettle some people. And it's smarter for him to just stay away, do his separate event, and he'll dominate the debate with his tweet.
It's interesting. The political philosophical mindset that has been created here that has allowed for the rise of Donald Trump to suspend all the physics of politics has been in very much fermented in the laboratory of Fox News Channel. Right, because they did something
and the RNC.
Right, but they said the Fox News Channel did something that no one ever thought in our business could be done, which was be successful as a commercial enterprise, not only as a ratings getter, but also as a commercial enterprise, and to be as politically pointed as they are. Right, and yet the political point that they were trying to make has created this groundswell of support for a guy who's now telling today his own constituents, screw those guys, liars. It's going to be a very
basically buckle up, people.
The Frankenstein monster got away from the castle, baby. That's what happened.
Hi.
And it's wrecking havoc in the village.
Yeah, and they're thinking now how do we go get it? Where are the people with the pitchforks and the torches?
That's the point. The people with the pitchforks and torches, they're helping the monster.
Right,
they're working with the creation.
Exactly. Let's go get the Burgermeister or whatever that dude's name is. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
He's the best, Michael Steele.
He is.
Thank you. All right.
Jeb Bush has $20 on it that Trump will show.
That's the problem with Jeb Bush right there. I'm going to put $20 on this to see if I'll bet you. Well, golly, I'll bet
he'll
you.
He'll be wrong.
He's going to show. I've got $20. I got a double sawbuck right here.